Technology is one of New York City's fastest growing industries. But for years, the city lacked a dedicated group to champion the unique needs and potential of this sector. Julie Samuels saw that gap and stepped forward, founding Tech NYC. Julie's path to leadership wasn't a straight line, but it's exactly what makes her stand out. She started out as a lawyer, but quickly found her calling in shaping how technology and policy collide. She spent her career pushing for innovation that serves the public good, and now, under her leadership, Tech NYC has become a critical voice, bridging the gap between technology companies and policymakers here in New York City, positioning her as one of the key influencers driving New York towards a more inclusive, tech-forward future. Julie, welcome to Real Talk Insiders.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. So let's start at the beginning. Can you walk us through your transition from law to now becoming one of New York City's most influential tech advocates?
Sure. First of all, the bio is so nice. I feel like, can I take that for our website?
Sure. Okay.
That was really, really kind. I'm really happy to be here. I was, as you said, I was an intellectual property lawyer. I spent a lot of time on copyright work, on trademark work, on patent work. But I came to that work as a First Amendment person, as someone who's really interested in First Amendment. I was actually a journalist briefly before law school. I went to law school to learn more about First Amendment law. And all of that was because I was fascinated by how the internet and information were colliding. I was maybe a little bit ahead of my time because we're clearly living in that moment right now, as you know, where that those collisions are having enormous repercussions. But that is what kind of drove my early career to start. So I was an IP lawyer because I was interested in the First Amendment. So that's a very natural transition. But timing in life and in careers is very funny. I spent more time working in the law firm than I probably anticipated I would, because I finished law school in 2005, and then obviously 2008 happened, and there was no way I was going to leave my law firm job when the market was just had tanked. So I ended up being a law firm lawyer for longer than I intended, and then I moved to San Francisco to work at this amazing nonprofit called the Electronic Frontier Foundation, where I really got to kind of dive in on these issues, particularly on intellectual property, First Amendment, the internet, where all of that kind of collides. And so that's how I got more into policy work. At that organization, I was kind of half doing, or more than half, but still doing legal work and also doing policy work, but mostly in D.C. That job brought me to San Francisco, which I think is interesting and is relevant because a lot of people in tech moved to San Francisco at some point for work. I moved there for a job, you know, listen, San Francisco is a lovely place, don't get me wrong, but I moved there for a job. There are a lot of people in tech who do that. And then as soon as we can, a lot of people who move back to New York, which was my exact kind of path. And then I came back here, and then, you know, I knew a lot of people in tech in New York from the national federal work I'd been doing. And it was obvious that there was a gap, that there was a need for an organization because of organizations like REBNY that came before it. What I found was so interesting when I started spending more time on the local kind of policy and political work that is definitely not true in D.C. and really isn't true in that many places, is that I found that civic leaders, elected officials, just other policymakers and other business leaders in New York are used to having kind of a single point of contact for an industry. There's REBNY, there's the partnership. Those are the obvious kind of archetypes for this. And I think this was 2015, early 2016. It was very clear that tech, it was time for tech to create one of its own. So it's actually pretty easy in some ways because there was already a framework. So many people kind of expected it to be that it was almost easy to create it.
Do you feel that you were sort of at the right place at the right time?
Like anything, like any really interesting dynamic career opportunity, there's a lot of luck and timing involved. And that was definitely the case in my instance. I think, for starters, tech was totally ascendant. It was really on the precipice of going from kind of mid-sized to huge. So there's a lot of energy to do it. I knew a lot of people in tech here, but like I said, I knew them from DC. So I was no one's kind of tech person. I was you know, I was kind of like Switzerland in some ways, and in politics and stuff that touches politics that really matters. I think that made it easier for me. Also, you know, if you think back to the end of 2015, de Blasio administration was still new. The Bloomberg team had taken a step back, but there was a little bit of a void. You know, under Bloomberg, the city had been really spending a lot of time talking about the growing tech sector. Under the de Blasio administration, that was not happening. So there was also a very clear lane, which I think helped a lot. So timing is everything.
And since then, the tech industry in New York has just
exploded. First, let me start by saying I'm not even sure how you define tech. It is incredibly clear to me that tech, if not already, will soon be the biggest industry in the city. I mean, but it also powers every industry at the same time. So it's just completely intertwined in everything, which is really, really interesting and dynamic. But it's also grown just since COVID, 10 times more new jobs in the tech industry than any other industry in the city. Just the numbers, they build upon each other, hundreds of thousands of jobs. It's amazing.
And can you talk a little bit about why that's happening in New York specifically?
The AI moment we're in now just makes this more true. New York is just prime for explosive growth. I think, let me just do a quick kind of historical moment. If you think of the growth of tech in the country and in the world kind of in waves, let's say, there was infrastructure, you know, like really who was building the early chips, who was laying the wires, who was laying the copper, who was laying the fiber, the infrastructure for the internet. I'm kind of talking about connected tech. And then wave two was really the applications, the platforms, like what made it so that people like us, like you guys and me and others who aren't deeply technical can use the internet. And that is really what you think of as kind of the really big tech companies of the early 2000s. You know, Google, Amazon, Facebook, like thinking about how people actually got online. When it comes time to figure out who's going to use that tech, how are they going to use it, who is going to pay for it, that all is happening here. Because all the customers are here, the clients are here, the markets are here. So it's kind of when the tech gets put into reality almost, that's a real East Coast, New York City specific story.
How does it feel to be in this role at this particular moment, given all the growth and challenges facing the industry?
Well, it's definitely not boring. It is not boring. You know, one of the things that's particularly interesting about this is that for the vast majority of tech companies, particularly as it relates to AI, it would be so much better if the regulation came from D.C., and there was one standard for the country. I mean, this sounds trite, but you know, the internet does not see state lines. It doesn't see city lines. I mean, it doesn't even see international. But like, let's stay within reason. So, in a perfect world, Congress would be setting the agenda, would be creating a framework. Businesses obviously like certainty. So even if it were suboptimal regulation, but at least there were a national standard, I think a lot of companies would thrive. Clearly, that's not happened. So state legislators across the country are getting much more active. And because Tech NYC focuses on state and local, that means we're very busy. And it, you know, it's a really interesting time for that. I think in a lot of blue states, the legislature is, I don't know if overreact is the right word, but is reacting to what's going on in D.C. In a way that isn't always super helpful for the companies. But that's obviously part of a much larger trend.
Where do you see Tech NYC making its biggest impact?
That's a great question. There's a lot of things, ways I could answer that. The first would be to call out an amazing project that we've worked on called Empire AI, which is going to be, you know, over $700 million supercomputer, high-performance computer in Buffalo with significant funding from the state, from a bunch of universities, from private philanthropy. So a real public-private partnership that will give all of these research institutions statewide access to this computer, which right now really only the largest companies have access to. So the researchers in New York State have access to a world-class computer. No one else in the country has this. It's an amazing legacy for Governor Hochul, who really championed this. It's just something I'm really proud of, even playing a small role in making reality. So that's kind of like one thing. And there's other projects in this lane. This is a very big one. But also, I mean, this is, let me just take a quick step back and tell you the part of the job that I think is the most kind of interesting and fun. It's a little abstract, but I think it makes sense. And it's as the city goes from this transition where tech inevitably will be the biggest industry. I think, you know, I have a lot of data that show this is true, but everyone also just knows this is true. It's obvious. As the city makes that transition, the stuff we at Tech NYC get to spend our time thinking about is, what does that transition mean politically? What does it mean philanthropically? What does it mean culturally, socially? Like, how do we integrate this growing sector, the people working in it, and the technologies we're building into what already makes New York great? And how do we do that in an effective way, in an efficient way, but in a way that also, you know, lifts all ships as much as possible? And that is really fun for me.
So as you look ahead, what excites you most about the future of technology here in New York City?
There's so much about the tech sector that is really optimistic. The tech sector is made up of builders, of people who see a problem and want to attack it. They see a better way and they are like, let's just do it a better way. Now, does that always work? Of course not. Are there unintended consequences? Yes. I'm not trying to paint over what some real challenges are, but that is a unique mindset. And I am really excited when I think about the future of the city, the future of how the city works, how the state works, if we can effectively embrace those people to bring that mindset to a host of problems. So that's one thing. There's another thing I want to say about tech in New York that I think is unique, that it's one of the things I love the most about tech in New York. When I lived in San Francisco, this is kind of where I started. I was talking about this dynamic. All of these people moved to San Francisco or to the Valley to work in tech. So you would constantly be meeting people who were tech people who lived in the Valley. But in New York, if you live in New York and work in tech, at some point, someone has said to you, you know, why are you here? Why aren't you on the West Coast? And, you know, 99 times out of 100, that person has some reason that has nothing to do with tech. They're here because they love the theater. They're here because their family's here. They're here because they love the restaurants, because they want to live in a city with functioning public transit. You know, fill in the blank. Like, why anyone loves New York. The way I see it is that the tech industry here is uniquely made up of people who love New York. They're New Yorkers who work in tech, as opposed to tech people who live here. And that dynamic is really, it's just awesome.
Do you have an ambition or goal for the future of Tech NYC?
Oh, yeah, I have a lot. You know, I think the main thing that is driving our work and our growth, and we have grown significantly. Tech NYC has almost tripled in the past 2 or 3 years. In the past 3 years, I guess. Because as the industry grows, we need to grow as well. And what that looks like to me is finding ways to plug more companies and, more importantly, more people who work in tech companies into the civic landscape of New York. It's not necessarily more lobbying, though there will be more lobbying because there are more issues in the city and state as they relate to tech. But the exponential growth is really about getting more people who work in tech more integrated into the civic fabric of our city. And that's, like, just to give you an example, that's kind of an abstract thing to say, but we have this amazing program through our foundation called Decoded Futures. It's so good. We work with cohorts of New York City nonprofits. And over the course of 6 weeks, we work very closely with them to build AI capacity so that the nonprofits can do more in the city. And it's that kind of work where I see the most potential, the most opportunity, and I'm just really excited about it.
What do you hope your legacy will be?
Oh, God. I don't know. I mean, I hope that Tech NYC is a sustainable organization. I personally feel really great about building a place that does meaningful work and where people like to work. I think that's really important. And I also hope that my legacy, gosh, it's a tough question, that is intertwined with the industry's legacy, I would say, of being, you know, essentially a good neighbor. I was talking earlier about how I think so many people in tech are like, well, we can do better. But I think in New York, there's a different flavor, which is like, we think we can do better, but we also understand that it's not so easy here and that we have to be partners with our friends in government and with our friends in other industries. And we all have to work together. New York is like, we're all in this really tight space and we're all just smooshed together all the time. And tech is just a piece of that. It is not, cannot be all of that. And I hope that the legacy that I leave and that Tech NYC leaves is that we did that in a way that lifted up more New Yorkers than it pushed down.
Real Talk NYC is produced by the Real Estate Board of New York. Today's episode was edited and hosted by Grace Boak with help from Jason Ryan. Thanks for listening.